Welcome to our new episode
of the FCJ Youth Network's Home Is Here podcast. All uprooted youth are welcome.
Hello everyone and welcome. Today we are diving into powerful stories of resilience, identity, and impact through the lens of a migrant superhero. Thank you so much for being here and sharing your journey with us. To start off, can you tell us about your journey as a migrant superhero? What motivated you to begin this path?
Okay, thank you for having me here. And my name is Adair Before Self, and I'm a second generation Tibetan born and raised in India. And my journey begins when I realized that being a Tibetan, it's especially who is not born in Tibet, it's not only about identity, it's about responsibility you carry, because they're very little Tibetan when you compare to the other countries. So yeah, my journey begins the moment I was born. But my journey in Canada started a year back when I gave exam to come here.
So what were some of the challenges you faced along the way, and how did you overcome them?
I would say loneliness was a thing. I grew up in a joint family, and I was in boarding school from a very young age, and I was always surrounded by people. But when I came here, I'm all alone, even though I have great friends and everyone. But yeah, loneliness really did hit me when I was here. Language was not a problem for me because I can read and write. Not so good in it, but I can manage it. But yeah, those things really hit me.
Yeah, loneliness is one of the basic challenge every immigrant feel when they come to a new country, leaving your family, everyone you love, and coming alone, especially when you don't have family around. And I'm glad you can read and understand English, because at least that will make your journey easy. Yeah, so how did you discover your superpowers? Because every superhero has their unique strengths. How did you discover your superpowers, and how have they evolved over time?
So it's a really good question, because the superpower I choose is, it's a motto of my school. So I go to a Tibetan school. It's a school made by His Holiness the Dalai Lama's sister for Tibetan, specific for Tibetan. So we wanted to preserve our language and identity and culture. So the motto of our school was Other Before Self. So growing, I grew up with that motto, you have to think about other before you. So that's the reason I choose this, because it's been a part of my life since from a very young age.
Yeah, that's a very unique story. And the fact that it has been in your life, you went to this school from a very young age.
That is
very unique. So please, can you share a specific moment where you used your superpower to help someone in need?
I don't remember any specific, but when I think about those micro moments, for example, if you are in a line and you see someone who really is in a hurry or something, you just give up my seat, or just give up you can go ahead, or those micro moments, that's how we build the world to become a better world.
Yeah, and I would translate that as kindness, because only a kind person can do that. So your background is a big part of your story.
Oh yeah.
What role has your cultural identity played in shaping your superhero journey as a Tibetan?
As a Tibetan, especially for me, I grew up, I grew up in a community of boarding school. So the elder, especially the teacher, everyone who's supposed to look after me has always shown you have to be kind, compassion, always the goodness of the world has been taught to me. And that too, when I was in holiday, my grandparents were always here. So they kind of know the culture about how to use formal language when you're speaking to elderly, and those very little thing, I would say, like how you pour your tea or water when you're serving it to elder. Because I grew up, like I said, with people who was always kind to other, especially in school, teacher, or like, because we left, when we were in boarding school, we don't go back to home for like 10 months. So all we see is the face of our teacher, like not our parents. So they really shaped us, and especially the warden who looked after us, always with kindness. There are some stories like they're not really kind of me or kind of the other student, but that's how life goes. And yeah, I think my culture, it's many Tibetan, like me, the second generation Tibetan, grew up with the same story. We grew up in a community like that, like how not to be in trouble for other, just spread kindness. I think that's how I put.
Yeah, I'm glad you have like a good memory from your boarding school, because not a lot of people I know there are some bad side, not very good side, but most people I know have a like very worst experience going to boarding school. So all those elements you learn from your warden and your teachers when you were in boarding school, how like this element, how do you bring them into your work or like your personal life?
So for personal life, or for example, if I'm in work, I was a PSW for some time here. And when I'm looking after some elder, I go beyond my work responsibilities so that the elder, so like whether it be a grandpa or grandma, have the comfort she needs. Sometimes I also do overwork work without being paid. It's like I don't count it on my hours. Like I wait for the children to come home safely, prepare something that I think they were good for her or him. So I go beyond my responsibility to take care of someone who's in need. Yeah, I think, and then the whatever I do to like other people, I do it like 100%. I don't do like, okay, no one is watching, it's okay if I don't take care of it, they're old, they won't complain. I don't do it like, I do it 100%, like more than 100% sometimes. I think that's the benefit of me growing up in a really good community.
I can see you are from what you've explained, I can see you are like a very kind and genuine person, and all of these attributes was because of how you grew up, which is very good. Like not a lot of people have the opportunity to grow up in a kind and genuine environment like you did. So that's I'm very happy about that. Also, how has your experience as a migrant influenced your understanding on diversity, social justice, and human rights?
So, you know, being a migrant myself, you understand kind of like what is justice through experiencing through your colleague or through your mates. And when I came here, everyone was kind of like immigrant at the same time. So, especially once you have experienced like discrimination and something like political issue, how they look different to people, I don't really like look into those. But when you're in ground level with the people like who you go along with or have conversation with, kindness really is like, for me, I will always say I survived Canada because of kindness of people. I won't say not only Tibetan. I have like many good friends from Mexico and other parts of the world. They're really kind to me, how they like. So diversity really like, at the end, we are all human. Yeah, just like the border with the line, but we are all human. And I would say that.
Yes. The fact, I think that was a one fundamental truth is that irrespective of where we came from, how diverse we are, whether our background are different, we are firstly human. So
so we only, we also have like a very shared comment, like about how we see the world, how we see like the other person, because we have gone through the same way.
Same thing, yes.
So I think that's how I see the diversity and justice.
Okay, can you share a time when your cultural background as a Tibetan gave you a unique perspective or advantage in a difficult situation?
As for like diversity?
No, like your cultural background, like as you are Tibetan, where you came from, can you like gave you a unique perspective or advantage in a unique situation, in a difficult situation, rather?
Difficult situation, maybe how I see things.
Okay.
Especially through the eye of empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said before, every Tibetan born outside Tibet has kind of know how to fight for their identity.
Mm-hmm.
So when you meet other people who are fighting for their maybe like identity, culture, or like their uniqueness, we kind of know what they're fighting for, what they wanted in their life, and we kind of support them.
Yeah.
I think like being a Tibetan, that's really like, show me the way of seeing diversity and different people and different wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I like the way you like emphasize on empathy. Yeah, that's a very unique, word to use. Also, have you ever face discrimination or negative attitude because of your migrant status?
Oh, I won't say directly I have, but I have my friends coming to me the other day. She was telling me, oh, you know what? I faced those. She was in her walk and they kind of like, don't talk to her for sometimes, you know, like being mean just because she looked different. She doesn't speak the English they expect her to speak. And but for me in Canada, I've never faced discrimination. But at the place where I grew up, I really, really faced discrimination. And especially if you're a girl, I have faced a lot of those harassment in a way. Especially when you go to like very public places, people, they're kind of like very thick skin. They do things and they act like they don't do it. So I really face discrimination in that way. And when they see me, they kind of assume that I'm from China. Especially when you book Uber or anything, it's like, oh, so you're from China? And then they kind of like just spread the idea of China, how they, I was once told, oh, so you guys did everything? I was like, no, I'm very different from China, I'm Tibetan. So where is Tibet? Then I have to explain everything. Yeah, that's the discrimination I face.
I understand that. So with all of this discrimination you explained earlier, how like do you respond, and was there a moment where you were able to educate others, like to foster understanding?
I remember I used to get angry when they called me Chinese or the other part of the world, because especially for me, I used to get really angry first when someone called me, oh, so you're from China, you look really, I would just fight with them, literally, like, no, you can't say that, you have to ask first, you just cannot label us. But then I realized, what's the point of fighting? You know, I could have just explained, no, I'm not, I could have just explained it, but I took the wrong way, and I realized it really late. But now when I go, like, when I book an Uber, or when I'm just on my road, if someone, like, tried to start a conversation saying, oh, are you from China, or where's the best restaurant here? I just say, oh, you know, I'm from Tibet, and then Tibet is under China. I just explain the whole history from 1959. Like, I take like half an hour or so, like really explain them, and then I show them my flag, the Tibet map and everything, and they kind of have better understanding of where I'm coming from. And next time, I hope when they see someone like me, they'll just ask, hey, where are you from? And if she or him say Tibet, oh, I know someone from Tibet. So that's how I take the.
Yeah, I'm glad you took your time to explain, because I feel like once you explain to one person, that person now have an understanding that, oh, not all Asian looking people are Chinese.
Yeah.
They understand that, oh, we have different section. We have people from Tibet.
Mm-hmm.
We have people also. And then they can also educate the rest of the, maybe their network or their friends. So, yeah, thank you for sharing all that with me. So now let's pick on support system and community. Because as you know, no superhero work alone. So have you found support or build community along your journey?
Oh yes, a lot. And but for me personally, my mom was the biggest superhero for me. She was the person I always look up to, and she was the one who encouraged me to like take the risks, do this, it's okay, you know, you're not going to like stuck in some place or anything. My mom was always there, like backbone. But I have this really special person, and I'm always thankful for her. I think it might take like a really long conversation when it comes to her, but I'll make it short. So when I first came to Canada, I have no one. You know, I know nothing about this place. I know no person, no friends, no relative. So I have a group, like the Stephen community group. So I was having this conversation with this girl for a very long time, like asking how this procedure works. Can you help me with that or this? I don't know her. I don't even know her real face or name, anything. But when I say, hey, I got visa, and then I ask her, I wanted to book an Airbnb. Do you know what place I should book? She's like, no, why are you booking the Airbnb? And who is coming to pick you up? No one, because I know no one. When I think about this, I always like kind of like overwhelmed and like try not to cry. And then she was like, no, you know, I will take a leave from my job, my work. And then she was there with like traditional kata, is like a scarf. And I was so like, oh my God, I was so thankful for her. And she welcomed me to her home. She's also like newcomer. It's only been like 1.5 years since she's here. But she take me to her room. She doesn't even know me. And she was like, you know, you're a Tibetan. We're supposed to help each other. And then I stayed with her for like 10 days. And then we searched for a room. I got a room just below her. And now we are like a real sister. And to me, I've never had a sister. So I found one, and she also doesn't have any sister, and she always like, ah, I found you. But I'm always thankful for her. And I also like, that's why I say I survived Canada because of the kindness of other, not only her. And then I found about this FCJ, my life changed. Mm-hmm. As you can see, I've been participating a lot in here. And then I have like a lot of friends. They were really welcoming, like, hey, I'm going here. You want to join? Everyone was so nice to me. I also do a lot of volunteering stuff in my community hall. And every outer was like, hey, are you looking for a job? You know, there's this thing you can also try. So everyone was really kind to me, like, especially her. I cannot say her name, but like, she is the most wonderful person that ever happened to me.
Yeah, I kind of get you because I have a similar story like mm-hmm. that. When I first came to Canada, I have this girl that came to pick me up at the airport. She's now my best friend.
Hello.
And I realize how easier she made my life, because it could have been a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
I would have figured it out at a point, but before maneuvering a lot of things in Canada, how to just the little things of how to like get the Google Map right, how to take the bus, how to get your PESTO card, how to get your entire ID card, all of those things, she helped me with them. How to get your SIM number, all of those things. She was literally, like the first week, we were literally going from places to places to places to places. Then she helped me got my first job, all of that. So I think having a support system in Canada is the best thing that can happen to you.
Yeah.
Because you could have like done it alone, but it will have been very hard, like very hard. So I wanted to ask, have your relationships with friends and family changed since you started this path? I mean, since you came to Canada?
No, I think everything was similar.
Mm.
My friends back home, they also tried to connect with me every now and then. We didn't lose the touch. And my family always there. very supportive, and new friends. When I came here, I made a lot of new friends, especially from the youth program. Everyone was new, and yeah, everyone is really kind and good, caring.
Yeah,
I didn't change much.
I know. In what ways have your loved ones supported your work, or do they share similar migration experience?
Oh yeah, so the friends I made here, everyone I know met here has like really similar situation to mine. They are either going on my way or has already gone here. So we kind of like share it, like, oh, this is the next thing you have to do. This is the legal procedure you have to do. This is the person you will have to do, not what to do. Like, they were always there. We are helping each other.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that you have like support system. Not that you have support system. Also, you are being a support system to mm-hmm. others, because that's one thing I like about kindness. Once people pour kindness into you, you don't have any choice. Automatically, you pour kindness into yeah. others, because you'd be like, oh, when I first came in, I know what it feels like to have someone support me. So if I see a newcomer, or maybe another of my friend is coming in from Tibet, I have to help this person yeah. settle in. So, yeah. so that is the best way to live life. So let's talk about your personal growth and self-care. How have you grown personally since starting this journey?
Sorry, what?
Personally, like, how have you grown since like coming to Canada?
Ooh, a lot. Especially emotionally. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, I always been someone who's really reserved to share mm-hmm. my thoughts and my emotion. I don't like crying in front of people. I used to be that person, you know, who cry in the bathroom and then act mm-hmm. tough. But when I came here, I realized that it's okay to cry, it's yes. okay to rest, it's okay yes. to have a conversation, but still I'm struggling too.
Yes.
But yeah, this is like the personal growth I really practice here in Canada. And my best friend back home, before I came here, I have like really good conversation with her mm. at the really fancy restaurant, mm. order a tea, mm. but we were crying our eyes out, and the waiter was like, what are they doing? But that moment really clicked me, like how even like we've been friends since childhood, but we haven't shared our heart out. Normally girls do, but not me. Mm-hmm. She shared a lot of things to me, but I never shared. And then the moment I tried to open up myself, it's really awkward, but she cried like, oh my God, you're sharing, you're opening up. And then I realized, oh, this is how I have to do. You know, you don't have to fight the battle alone. It's okay to ask for help. Yeah, you don't have to like bear everything.
Yeah.
And when I came here, I did the same, and people were always happy to help you out. And that's the personal thing really like yeah. helped me with that. Yeah.
I feel like here in Canada, being an immigrant, Canada would teach you how to be emotionally mature, like yeah. how to figure out sure. your emotion, how mm-hmm. to like specify your emotion. What am I feeling today? Am I feeling like rejected? Am I feeling lost? Am I feeling like a failure? Because it happens sometimes. You're new in this country. A lot of things is coming out, yeah. like coming to you at the same time. So, yeah, it's very understandable. So, being in this role, like growing like this and adjusting to this life can be demanding. How do you take care of your mental health and your emotional well-being?
Oh, so I work from Monday to Friday, right? And on Sunday, I do like I teach Tibetan dance at like a community center, the traditional one. So on Saturday, it's me time. So I wake up like I try to act like I'm in a movie. You know, I wake up slowly and then I take like fresh breath and everything, and then I take a shower, I go out. I love going to library. Even it doesn't matter if I'm reading only 2 pages, but I love going there. And I'll order like a coffee, I'll take my time there, I will observe people, I'll do little doodles and everything. And once it's evening, I'll go to like really good restaurant. I love burgers, so I'll search like best burger around here, and then I'll go there, I'll enjoy like my time there. But now it's winter, so I don't go to like those lakeshore and everywhere. But when it was like the weather was good, I used to go there, like have a small walk. That's how I take care of myself.
Yeah, summer is coming, so I'm sure.
Yeah, you're waiting
you
for would, it.
Yeah, you have a lot of like fun moments coming.
You know, the funny thing is that I thought this is my first winter here.
Mm.
So I thought, okay, now the winter is gone because, you know, it was really sunny the other day. I packed all my like
jackets
because I washed it and I packed it. And the other day it was like
very cold.
Very cold. It was snowing. Like, oh my God, it's not done. I put it. And my sister, the one who helped me, she laughed so hard. Like, oh girl, you have to wait for some time.
Yeah, that is Canada weather for you. It's just keep shocking you and be like, no. When is this winter and when is this summer coming?
Yeah.
So let's talk about balancing life.
Mm-hmm.
How do you balance your superhero responsibility with your everyday life? Like we deduced earlier, your superhero is being kind.
Mm-hmm.
Like you put others before yourself. So how do you balance this responsibility with your everyday life?
Sometimes I remind myself that it is not your only responsibilities. Sometimes people just don't want to change. Even though you know what is best for them, you try to tell them again and again, but it doesn't work that way. So I tell myself, okay, sometimes it's okay to step back and then let them figure out what is good for them. And then if they fail, just be there for he or she. That's how I balance, but you know, I'm someone who tries, like, even if I become friends with you and we go out, you know, we take care of each other. It's like, hey, did you see this new product? You have to have mine. But sometimes people don't appreciate those. Like,
yeah.
They, because especially for someone who have never received kindness like that, mm-hmm. they took it as you're trying to find like what is wrong with you. I realized it when I came here, because when I grew up, everyone was like this. Like everyone was trying to support each other. Hey, you look kind of down. You have to do this. Hey, you look kind of like dull. I think you're going through something. You have to drink this or do that. You use this product. But when I came here, some people really don't appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because they came from a very different background, mm-hmm. who have never received like love in that way.
Yeah.
So they kind of like they wanted to change you. They feel like I wanted to change them. That is not true, but yeah.
I think you've answered my next question, which was the challenges you face maintaining that balance.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and so can you share a moment that captured that struggle? Would that moment be where you wanted to show someone kindness and they don't realize the kindness you wanted to show, or do you have like another moment you want to share?
That wasn't like, it's so the place where I grew up, we buy things to give to people who are in need. Like for here, we give it to homeless. So one day, I was going to grab some food, so I got an extra one because I saw someone outside. So I said, okay, it's really cold outside, she might be hungry. So I bought an extra, I don't have that much money, but I paid for it. I won't be like really poor if I just buy another one. So I bought it for her and I give it to her. And she just like threw it. Like, hey, what do you think you like? And that time I was like, oh my God, I cannot do this.
Yes.
I wanted to do something good to her because I feel like she's hungry, cold, and like really warm food, like really new. And then she just threw it. It's like, oh my God, what a waste of money and food. Yeah, that was like a real funny story. After that, I never do it again.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes, I think because we came from different places, we have different perspectives.
Yeah.
She could feel disrespected with the fact that you bought her food.
Yeah,
and be like, what do you think I am? Do you think I don't have any, even though maybe she doesn't have any money to get food. But some people have too much pride that they would not accept help or even ask for help. So looking back, what moment truly defined your journey as a migrant superior? Or can you share a touching or joyful memory that stands out?
Mm.
I could recall you spoke about when your friend picked you up at the airport.
Yeah.
That's, to me, that's like a very significant moment. Yeah.
It's not a moment, but it's related to this. Like, she helped me. Mm-hmm. I was also helping another girl who's mm-hmm. coming from somewhere. She doesn't have a place to stay, and we welcome her. Mm. And I was with friend with some another, like, he's from somewhere else. And I told him that, hey, tomorrow we won't meet because I'm heading out to meet this other girl. I have to take her from the airport, and then I have to give her a place to stay and all this. I said, oh, who is she? I said, no, and I don't know her. She's a Tibetan. I said, how come you're helping her? Because you never know what other person is like.
Mm-hmm.
What if she wanted to take advantage of you? And I say, and then I have to explain him, like, no, we don't do this. You know, I came here. I'm on my feet now. Like, yeah, but she helped me with that. Mm-hmm. Now I also have to someone else.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, that's really cool. And then I crack a joke, like, and even if she wanted to steal something, I'm so broke, she won't find anything. She's like, oh, makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's all boils down to where we came from.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said earlier, some people are not just used to kindness. They'll be like, no, you don't help people like that.
Yeah.
Moreover, you understand what those kind of help can do for someone because you benefited from the exact kind of help. Through your friend.
Yeah, and even when I was working as a PSW, I sometimes, like, our traditional medicine, like the oil, they're known to be really good at, like, for bone and all this.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of, like, buy those stuff, and I told them, like, it's really good, you should try it, and I just use them, because, yeah, they are someone else's grandpa.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, it's kindness. I would say the one thing that pushes you is because you're kind, and it's because of where you came from.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember you speaking about your mom. You said she's like your backbone. Mm-hmm. Would you say she inspired you, like, all through your journey?
Yeah, you could say that, but like many other Tibetan,
mm-hmm.
I was also inspired by His Holiness the Dalai Lama. We grew up listening to his speeches and how he explained things about universe and about people, loving kindness. There are a lot of quotes about from him that I always, like, use it on my daily life. Like those, like, really famous one, like, if you can't help other, just don't harm them. You know, those are the little thing, and my religious is simple, my religious is kindness. So those are, like, always, like, in my back of my head, like, okay, I look up to him. He's not only, like, a spiritual leader, but like a person I look up to.
Mm.
Like, I know I won't be able to become like him, but at least I'm trying to follow the step he has followed. But my mom, because my parents got divorced from a very young age, like when I was 7, and my mom never gave up on me and my brother. I never get to experience how things are difficult for her, because she's really kind of, like, I would say, a good actor, how she, like, doesn't cry in front of me. And then once I grew up, she started to tell how struggling it was to me because it was for her. And my brother also, like, he is more emotionally available for her than me, because I grew up in a hostel, but he was near my mom. Mom, yeah, the strongest woman I ever known. My grandma as well. Like, she held everything in sight. I think every woman in my house, like, have really small, like, strong capacity to hold everything in up. But yeah, when they crack open, it's a big tsunami, I would say. Yeah, my mom is the inspiration to come here and start everything. Yeah.
It sounds like you come from a generation of really strong women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised, because obviously you would emulate those like good attributes from them. So yeah. Shout out to your mom. I'm sure she misses you. What are your goals moving forward?
Continue to use my voice to spread awareness about my identity, my culture, about Tibet, and about how migrants, like not only Tibetan, other migrants, are being, negledged by the society. To us, it's the government of China, not the people. Chinese people are really kind, but the government. And I think my goal is to always spread awareness about whatever is happening in the world, like not on the global basis, but on my daily life. I always try to spread awareness about like how refugees are struggling here in Canada, or Tibetans are still struggling to, you know, speak their own language in homeland. I will always carry this identity with me, and I will always teach my children how to protect this.
I feel very proud. Like, I feel happy hearing those words from you. And what advice would you give others facing similar challenges, like moving to a new country and maneuvering the new country, this new system?
Never give up.
Yeah.
There's always hope. When you are in a place, you feel like, oh my God, I have spent everything, I've tried everything, and it's not working. And you kind of blame the situation sometimes. You're not thinking what to do next. You're just blaming the situation. I would say, don't blame it. Just take it as, okay, I tried. It's an error. It doesn't work out. I'll try another way. Because what I have learned in this journey is that there's always a hope. There's always a way. If you have the will to do it, the universe will help you.
Yes.
Positiveness, I would say.
As we wrap up, how has your definition of home changed over time? And also, what advice would you give your younger self before starting this journey? If the advice is never to give up, then that answers that. So let's focus on how your definition of home has changed over time.
Oh, so over time, you know, I always have like this idea of home. The home is not only the bricks, the four wall, it's about the people you spend with.
Yeah.
Sometimes you find home in a friend. Sometimes you find home in a stranger. Sometimes in the coffee house. I find it a lot. They're really kind. But as in Tibetan, home is a place where I can speak my language freely, my identity. I can follow my religion freely. But I will always, always back on my bone. I would always love to go to Tibet one time and then feel, okay, this is a place I was supposed to born and call home, but that never happened. Maybe my children is fortunate enough to experience that.
Thank you very much for sharing your story with us. Your experiences are truly powerful and inspiring, and I hope and I wish you achieve all you aim to achieve, and I am sure you would not stop being kind to others and and being supportive to others, because kindness and having a support system is one thing every immigrant should have. It will always make the journey easier. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow our Instagram account at FCJ Youth Network.
And to stay up to date on all the latest fun events that we're hosting, check out our page on the FCJ Refugee Center website, www.fcjrefugeecenter.org.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Home is here.